Good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this 19th day of April. It is day 110 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, somebody who shows up with you every day to spend a little time together in the pages of the Bible. And we're going to let the Bible do what the Bible does and direct our hearts to the one who is the living Word of God. The one alone who has the words of life. And so we come, my friends. From all around the world, we gather to warm ourselves by the fires of God's love. For God is love. And today, we're in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 22. That's where we'll start. And then we go on to Psalm 17, then Psalm 35, and we'll finish in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 6. This is the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 22. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. Later David went to Mizpah in Moab, where he asked the king, "Please allow my father and mother to live here with you until I know what God is going to do for me." So David's parents stayed in Moab with the king during the entire time David was living in his stronghold. One day the prophet Gad told David, "Leave the stronghold and return to the land of Judah." So David went to the forest of Hereth. The news of his arrival in Judah soon reached Saul. At the time the king was sitting beneath the tamarisk tree on a hill at Gibeah, holding his spear and surrounded by his officers. "Listen here, you men of Benjamin," Saul shouted to his officers when he heard the news. "Has that son of Jesse promised every one of you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you all generals and captains in his army? Is that why you have conspired against me? For not one of you told me when my own son made a solemn pact with the son of Jesse. You're not even sorry for me. Think of it. My own son, encouraging him to kill me, as he is trying to do this very day." Then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up. "When I was at Nob," he said, "I saw the son of Jesse talking to the priest, Ahimelech, son of Ahitub. Ahimelech consulted the Lord for him. Then he gave him some food and the sword of Goliath the Philistine. The king immediately sent for Ahimelech and all his family, who served as priests at Nob. When they arrived, Saul shouted at him, 'Listen to me, you son of Ahitub.' 'What is it, my king?' Ahimelech asked. 'Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me?' Saul demanded. 'Why did you give him food and a sword? Why have you consulted God for him? Why have you encouraged him to kill me, as he is trying to do this very day?' 'But, sir,' Ahimelech replied, 'is anyone among all your servants as faithful as David, your son-in-law? Why, he is the captain of your bodyguard and a highly honored member of your household. This was certainly not the first time I consulted God for him. May the king not accuse me and my family in this matter, for I knew nothing at all of any plot against you.' 'You will surely die, Ahimelech, along with your entire family,' the king shouted. And he ordered his bodyguards, 'Kill these priests of the Lord, for they are allies and conspirators with David. They knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me.' But Saul's men refused to kill the Lord's priest. Then the king said to Doeg, 'You do it.' So Doeg the Edomite turned on them and killed them that day, 85 priests in all, still wearing their priestly garments. Then he went to Nob, the town of the priest, and killed the priest's families, men and women, children and babies, and all the cattle, donkeys, sheep and goats. Only Abiathar, one of the sons of Ahimelech, escaped and fled to David. When he told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord, David exclaimed, 'I knew it. When I saw Doeg the Edomite there that day, I knew he was sure to tell Saul. Now I have caused the death of all your father's family. Stay here with me and don't be afraid. I will protect you with my own life, for the same person wants to kill us both.'" Psalm 17, a prayer of David. O Lord, hear my plea for justice. Listen to my cry for help. Pay attention to my prayer, for it comes from honest lips. Declare me innocent, for you see those who do right. You have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night. You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say. I have followed your commands, which keep me from following cruel and evil people. My steps have stayed on your path. I have not wavered from following you. I am praying to you because I know you will answer, O God. Bend down and listen as I pray. Show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By your mighty power, you rescue those who seek refuge from their enemies. Guard me as you would guard your own eyes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me from wicked people who attack me, from murderous enemies who surround me. They are without pity. Listen to their boasting. They track me down and surround me, watching for the chance to throw me to the ground. They are like hungry lions eager to tear me apart, like young lions hiding in ambush. Arise, O Lord! Stand against them and bring them to their knees. Rescue me from the wicked with your sword. By the power of your hand, O Lord, destroy those who look to this world for their reward, but satisfy the hunger of your treasured ones. May their children have plenty, leaving an inheritance for their descendants. Because I am righteous, I will see you. When I awake, I will see you face to face and be satisfied. Psalm 35, a Psalm of David. O Lord, oppose those who oppose me. Fight those who fight against me. Put on your armor and take up your shield. Prepare for battle and come to my aid. Lift up your spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Let me hear you say, I will give you victory. Bring shame and disgrace on those who try to kill me. Turn them back and humiliate those who want to harm me. Blow them away like chaff in the wind, a wind sent by the angel of the Lord. Make their path dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. I did them no wrong, but they laid a trap for me. I did them no wrong, but they dug a pit to catch me. So let sudden ruin come upon them. Let them be caught in the trap they set for me. Let them be destroyed in the pit they dug for me. Then I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be glad because he rescues me. With every bone in my body, I will praise him. Lord, who can compare with you? Who else rescues the helpless from the strong? Who else protects the helpless and poor from those who rob them? Malicious witnesses testify against me. They accuse me of crimes I know nothing about. They repay me evil for good. I'm sick with despair. Yet when they were ill, I grieved for them. I denied myself by fasting for them, but my prayers returned unanswered. I was sad as though they were my friends or family, as if I were grieving for my own mother. But they are glad now that I'm in trouble. They gleefully join together against me. I'm attacked by people I don't even know. They slander me constantly. They mock me and call me names. They snarl at me. How long, O Lord, will you look and do nothing? Rescue me from their fierce attacks. Protect me from these lions. Then I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I will praise you before all the people. Don't let my treacherous enemies rejoice over my defeat. Don't let those who hate me without cause gloat over my sorrow. They don't talk of peace. They plot against innocent people who mind their own business. They shout, aha, aha, with our own eyes we saw him do it. O Lord, you know all about this. Do not stay silent. Do not abandon me now, O Lord. Wake up. Rise to my defense. Take up my case, my God and my Lord. Declare me not guilty, O Lord my God, for you give justice. Don't let my enemies laugh about me and my troubles. Don't let them say, look, we got what we wanted. Now we will eat him alive. May those who rejoice at my troubles be humiliated and disgraced. May those who triumph over me be covered with shame and dishonor. But give joy to those who come to my defense. Let them continually say, great is the Lord who delights in blessing his servant with peace. Then I will proclaim your justice, and I will praise you all day long. Matthew 6. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies in the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat?" or "What will we drink?" "What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And now, Lord, on this day we ask your blessing on the reading and hearing of your word. Amen. What are you looking at? Where is your eye being drawn? What light is filling your eye? If the world has caught your eye, then your thoughts will be dominated by worry, survival, what you eat and drink, what you wear, people's opinion of you. The world's great at helping us keep our eye on ourselves. But Jesus says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. If the eye is like a lamp for the whole body, then what we're looking at really matters. If our eye is fixed inward, it becomes a black hole. It only leads to a life of self-obsession, worry, regret, which has a way of filling our whole life and dominating us. Jesus says when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And for religious folks, Jesus has a special warning. He says, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Parading our religious light before others in an attempt to co-opt God and draw attention rather to ourselves is a deep, deep darkness. But Jesus wants to invite us into a different way. A way that goes beyond worry and self-obsession. He allows and enables us to step into a life of trust and rest in God. A God-focused life. When we focus our eye on Him, we find a Father who knows everything about us, even our private motivations, and yet He still loves us. Our Father sees us and lets us know that we are far more valuable to Him than we can dare to imagine. When you know that you are loved that way, you can afford to take your eye off of yourself and actually begin to take a good look at someone else, on others. A God-focused life allows us to see, love, honor, and serve others. When our eyes and life are fixed on Him, His light will fill our whole body. It'll start to shine out in all the untouched areas of our life. He'll shine His gracious, merciful, healing light into our past, onto our wounds. So what you look at matters. What is your eye looking upon? Keep your eye fixed on Him. Let the light of Jesus fill your eye. It'll bring light to your whole body, your imagination, your soul, and it will make you what you really are, new. And that's a prayer that I have for my own soul. That's a prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, You have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with Your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of Your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, You have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent Your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after You and find You. Bring the nations into Your fold, pour out Your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of Your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends, I hope that you were blessed today by our time in the scriptures and in prayer. I hope that your heart was encouraged. I hope that your eyes were opened perhaps just a little bit more to the wonders of God's love and his presence in your life. Well, friends, before I let y'all go today, I just want to say thank you to our partners. I'm so appreciative that we have amazing people who've come alongside the podcast and have given so that we might in turn give encouragement, wisdom, hope, faith in a God that is good, really good, better than we've ever thought. That's what we want to do here each day, and that's what our partners are making possible. And so, man, I just want to say thank you. I want to send a shout out to people like Gentry Jones and J.B. McMeans, Florence Atiega, John Vanderwater, Denise Williams, Calhoun Queener, Jenny Bauer, Tamika Peoples, Gregory Connolly, and Anastasia McLogic. Blessings to you, my sisters, my brothers, my co-laborers in this work of the Lord. And if you're listening today and you would like to join that team of folks that are making this dream work every day, man, that is so appreciated and so needed. And all you need to do is head on over to the webpage, dailyradiobible.com, click on the donate link. You can also find that link in the show notes of today's podcast, so right on your phone, you can do that. You can also reach us the old school way through the U.S. Post at 2748 Northeast Molini Way, Hillsboro, Oregon, 97124. Well, that's really it, friends. That's all I got for you today, other than, perhaps, the encouragement to get outside, to take a little walk if you're able, to take a good gander at God's creation. Let gratitude well up in your heart, and then say thank you. That's all I got for you. But what do you say we show up again tomorrow and we'll do this again? Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength, and let us always remember this, that you, yes, you, are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.